Okay, so imagine that you are on a walk and you pass a construction site where you spy some very cool rocks. And yes, you have the imagination to think these rocks are very cool. You think they'd look perfect in your garden, so you ask someone if you can take some home. They say, yep. Off you go. You bring them home. You set them out. Everything's normal. And then you give one of those rocks a closer look, and it is actually a dinosaur bone. This is so cool. It's not just a dinosaur bone. It is, quote, a large neotheropod from the lower Jurassic of Massachusetts, end quote. And who knew we had a lower Jurassic of Massachusetts? But that is exactly what happened to Mark McMiniman and his wife just a few months ago at University of Massachusetts Amherst's campus. He is a paleontologist and a professor of geology at Mount Holyoke College. So he had a pretty good idea of what he was looking at. So now it is a question of where that fossil will find a permanent home. And some might say, in the infamous words of Indiana Jones,
that belongs in a museum.
Mark Miniman is with us now. Mark, thank you so much for joining us and bringing us this fun story.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
So does it belong in a museum?
It does indeed belong in a museum.
So this is so cool. I get me inside your head when you're looking at these rocks and you realize you might have a dinosaur fossil.
It was quite an interesting day. I was out splitting wood in the backyard from a 110-year-old sugar maple tree that we had to take down because it was threatening the house. And then with one blow of the axe, the vibration seemed to have caused a rock to roll off of the pile down at my feet, and I looked down in the fading evening light and noticed a strange porous texture that was unlike that of the other rocks. So I picked it up, took it into the house, put it under the kitchen light, and said, this really looks like fossil bone. I'm going to have to test this.
So a couple of things. One, you mean to tell me that it could have gotten lost in your garden and you never might have found it if it hadn't been for the strike of the blow of an axe?
Correct. Yes, it might just still be sitting out in our garden unrecognized.
Okay, that is crazy. So now you know you've got to test it. Are you like, are your hands shaking? Is this high drama? Or at this point, are you pretty sure, no, this is dinosaur bone, but I'm just going to confirm it?
I was pretty sure because I had worked with giant reptile bone from the Mesozoic out in Nevada. And many of the bone pieces were fragmentary, and I recognized the fragmentary bone texture. It's pretty distinctive. And seeing it here made me think to myself, what is this doing here? I better test this out. But of course, I'm thinking in my mind that we've had very little success finding the bones of the dinosaurs that have left the biggest tracks in the Connecticut Valley. So I'm thinking this could be it.
Okay, so A, most people don't think, I think, of our area as a place that has a history of dinosaurs. But it sounds like you're saying, yeah, that was really a thing.
That was indeed really a thing. And we've known since 1802 that there were dinosaurs in this area. In 1802, Pliny Moody of South Hadley discovered the first dinosaur track in our area. And a few years later became quite the item locally. A lot of interest in this. The third president of Amherst College became an expert in these things. And they really represent the start of dinosaur science in America.
Okay, so now we have to delve. I'm sorry, I can barely contain myself. I think this stuff is so cool. So now we have to delve into what you think it might have been, because as I understand it, this is a piece of bone from something that you think was massive and predated or preceded basically a T-Rex.
Yes, it was a very fortunate piece of fossil bone because it preserves the outer end of the humerus bone, which is your upper arm bone. And this particular end of the humerus of this dinosaur has all the characteristics that we would expect for an early Jurassic dinosaur. The only thing that makes this one different is its size. It's huge compared to the bones of the similar part of the body known on Dilophosaurus and Cryolophosaurus.
So let me stop you there for a second. So early Jurassic, that's what, 200 million years ago?
About 200 million years ago, yes.
Okay, and you're saying most of the dinosaurs of that time weren't really big, but this one probably was? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. I think that this one was the first dinosaur, first predatory dinosaur to reach the 30 feet length size. And that's a first for Earth history.
So 30 feet, I'm trying to put that in perspective. What is that in comparison to a school bus, let's say?
That would be two school buses end to end.
Oh, my gosh. And this thing was a fisher, right? It fished. It wasn't even a land predator for the most part, that we think.
The bone does seem to suggest that it was an animal that spent time in the water.
And what would it have eaten at that time?
At this time in the lower Jurassic, we had lakes in our area, and they were filled with all kinds of primitive fish, coelacanths and semi-annoted fish. So there would have been an ample food supply for our dinosaur.
Now, I happen to know, because I had a kid who loved dinosaurs, coelacanths, we still find them sometimes, right?
They are still alive today. In fact, there are two species, one off the coast of Africa and one in Indonesia.
Amazing. Okay, so as I understand it, this rock was basically on the side of an old fraternity volleyball court on the campus of UMass Amherst. So now that it turns out there was a dinosaur fossil there, does that stop everything there? Like, is this now a protected space where people can look for more dinosaur bones? Or has the construction gone on and maybe the toe bone is gone forever?
Well, that was my first thought when I realized that this was a dinosaur bone. When it passed our geochemical tests, I raced back to the UMass campus and scoured the construction site before they finished paving it, but I didn't find a single other thing.
So no one like our TD Marquise was like, wait, can I go look for dinosaur bones there? It sounds like it's too late.
I think it's too late to look for bones there, and I don't think you'd find any anyway, because this represents a piece that was transported possibly by the glacier or by streams that were associated with the melting of the glacier. It was covered with fine glacial powder dust, which was one of the reasons that it was hard to recognize, and it was just lucky that it was the low-angle evening light that kind of penetrated through the dust and allowed me to see the bone texture.
Amazing. Okay, and just briefly before we let you go, what happens to it now?
Well, now we've published a preliminary description of the bone in a journal called Academia Letters, and I'm working now on a more complete description that will also include a repository number, and the repository would be the museum where this bone will reside for all scholars to look at.
So cool. All right, Mount Holyoke College Professor Mark McMenamin, a geologist and paleontologist and lucky finder of that theropod bone fragment. Mark, thank you so much for bringing us this story.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me on.